I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gaiman, and today we are deep diving the International Captain's President's Cup team, not the captain's pick. We've done that. We'll go through each one of the players, discuss their strengths and weaknesses and where they fit into this event. And to do that, I've assembled a great team. So first off, Kyle Porter, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I am... Yeah, I'm looking forward to this event. It still feels like it's a long way away, even though it's getting closer.
Yeah, I think it'll be here certainly before we know it, just a handful of weeks away now at this point. And additionally, welcoming back to the show, Eric Patterson from The Score. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, boys, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to spending the next 30 minutes talking about Canadian Adam Hadwin. Should be fun to break down the lone representative of my nation here.
I want to talk about the injustice of Corey Connors not making the team.
Oh, we can do that too.
Beauty. And we kind of mentioned it before we went hot here, but Eric, you and I go back a long way, sir. We've known each other for a couple of years, but this is the first time we ever get to do a podcast. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's an honor. I appreciate you guys having me on. We've come a long way since the days of free blogging back DFS content like 2-3 years ago.
We were so cool back then, though. We're a little different now. Yeah. All right, let's hop into this. We've got 12 guys to go through. International team. I'm just going to roll through these based in order of official world golf rankings. So we start with the number 17 player in the world. It's Adam Scott. He is by far the most experienced President's Cup player on this team. His career record is 14 wins, 20 losses, and 5 draws. He's the one of only two players on this team that was on the International President's Cup team when this was last played at Royal Melbourne in 2011. And Kyle, let's start with you. Adam Scott, I think very clearly the international team's best player. Does he have to be their best player over the course of these 4 days for them to have any chance at this thing?
I don't know that he has to be. I think, we'll talk about these guys later on, but I think one of the guys we keep going back to is Joaquin Niemann, and just like how volatile he could be. I think somebody like that could end up being their best player. I guess the place that I land with Adam Scott is if I compare this to a Ryder Cup and you're saying, look, this is our best guy going in. Is anybody on the U.S. team like, oh, I don't want to play Adam Scott. There's like 9 guys like that on the European team, right? Like, I don't want to play Rory. I don't want to play freaking
even Poulter,
68-year-old Sergio. I don't want to play any of these guys, but even the best guy on the international team, I don't really see any of the guys in the U.S. team being like, oh, I don't want to play Adam Scott today. He's somebody who's, he's a great player. He's a beautiful player to watch, but I don't know that he scares you in match play.
Yeah, I don't think he has anybody shaking in their boots. So, Eric, let's throw this over to you. I actually think Adam Scott is a lot more versatile this year than he may have been in previous years because he's improved his putting so much. Last season, 2019 year, he was 31st in strokes gained putting. He hadn't ranked inside the top 125 in his previous 4 seasons. So I think he's a little more versatile now. He's not just tied into a specific playing partner, but what do you think about Adam Scott here?
Yeah, like you mentioned, I think, you know, Scott can definitely be paired with some of those young guys that don't have the experience, not only in a President's Cup, but at Royal Melbourne. Like you said, he's played here before. So I think he's going to be a, you know, kind of a key leadership role, take a key leadership role on this team, maybe paired with a Neiman or an Im. Those guys could, you know, together, they might be one of the better pairings that the internationals can put out. So, you know, his history isn't great, but he will be relied on heavily, just, you know, teaching these young guys kind of how to do it and how to compete against the Americans.
Yeah, in his defense, no one's record in the President's Cup for the international team is very good. I think there's one guy over 500. And looking back at previous events here, there was a year, 2013, Kyle, they loaded up Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama four different times. That is like the epitome of team no putt. I don't think they're going to do that again this time around.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. They beat Jason Duffner and Zach Johnson 2-1. I'm looking back at the last time it was in Melbourne. You said 2011. Scott and KJ Choi beat Tiger and Steve Stricker 7-6. That was a baptism.
That's a whooping.
Yeah,
we can do that pairing again, can't we?
Yeah,
bring the assistant captains in.
That should be, you know how
they call somebody off the sidelines.
They have all these like junior President's Cups and junior Ryder Cups. They should have a senior one, and it should be captains against captains.
Very into it.
There you go.
Tiger,
you just played another week of the golf season.
Yeah, Tiger could play in both of them, playing everything.
I think Ernie just saw 4-under in the Nedbank World Challenge or whatever it's called. So his game's sharp.
He's sharp. He's ready to go. All right. Let's move along here to Hideki Matsuyama. He is the number 20 player in the world. His President's Cup record, 4-6-3. He does have a winning singles record, 2-1. What you'll find is a lot of these guys have done well in singles. It's the team formats that are really killing them. And let's go back to you, Eric, here. I mean, Hideki's situation has always been great tee to green and a little bit shaky, to put it nicely, when he gets onto the green and onto the putting surface and he has to roll the rock. Is there a guy that you can see that naturally fits with Hideki here?
You know, I was trying to think about this today. Like, do you want to pair for alternate shot, or I guess foursomes it would be? Do you want to pair him with a really good putter, or do you want to, you know, pair him with someone who kind of resembles the same skill sets that he has? So I think him with an elite putter would be pretty enticing for alternate shot, but you know, going with someone who kind of fits his skill set, someone who can make a ton of birdies in bunches for four ball is, you know, those guys can ham and egg it to like, you know, 9-under on the first few holes. So it's just Hideki. Yeah, like you said, if he can get his putter going, he's definitely going to be the best player that the internationals have by far.
I agree.
Yeah, you're on the same page with that, Kyle?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is interesting because I think that the international team, the U.S. team seems to have more guys that are well-rounded, like the Justin Thomas type, to where you're like, I don't really know what the weaknesses are. Like, he might not be quite as good of a, I don't know, driver as Adam Scott or whatever, but just all around, I mean, guys like JT and Xander and Koepka, it's like, where's the weakness? Whereas on the international team, it's like, it's much more like their strengths are much more focused. Like, you look at Hadwin, you look at Sungjae, tee to green, you look at Ustazen and Hideki, tee to green. Like, that, like, it's going to be fascinating to see how Ernie pairs them, because like Eric was saying, you could go two elite, but you could go Sungjae and Hideki, and they just ball strike it into the ether, and then they might like three putt every green. Who knows? So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think Ernie really has his work cut out for him because of that. You almost have a lot of specialists, and how you put them together is going to be interesting. Now, the next guy on our list here, number 23 player in the world, Louis Oosthuizen. He has in 11 of the 12 team sessions that he has played at the President's Cup, he's been paired with either Brendan Grace or Charles Schwartzel. 11 out of 12 of them. He's not going to have either of those guys this season. So, Kyle, let's start back with you. Louis's looking for a new partner. I don't know who it is. He's another one of these guys that he doesn't have a super elite skill set. He's really good. He's a really good touch around the greens. I don't know how that comes into play in this type of format. You're now in the shoes of Ernie Els, and you've got to roll Louis out there as somebody. Who is it?
Well, apparently it's a South African, which is problematic because there's not another one on the team, right? So
he's flying solo.
Yeah. So he won. What is that? Six in a row. Six. Like partner matches in a row. So non-singles team. Whatever I'm trying to say. From 2013 to 2017 with Grace and Schwartzel, and most of them with Grace. So I don't know. I mean, I could see him with, like, again, I go back to the kind of experience versus rookie type thing. So maybe a Cam Smith, maybe an Abraham Answer, somebody like that. I think, you know, Louis's got so much experience. He's been in every situation you could have been in. And to kind of take one of those guys under his wing, I could see that being beneficial to the international team.
Yeah, Eric, I don't think they're – and maybe – I mean, listen, I've been wrong plenty of times in the history of my golfing life here. But I don't suspect there's going to be a lot of rookie-rookie pairings. I mean, there's six rookies on this international team, so it might just be bound to happen. But someone with Louis' experience pairing him with one of any of the six rookies is probably pretty valuable in a situation like this. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's, again, kind of similar to Adam Scott. That's going to be his role here, you know, just kind of be that stabilizing factor when, you know, one of these rookies can come out and maybe start with a couple bogeys, and Louis's there, you know, kind of right in the ship, holding the team together. So I think, you know, pairing Louis with a Neiman or a Pan, depending on when they want these guys out, is probably the way to go.
On a scale from 1 to 10, Eric, how crazy is it that Louis's only PGA Tour win was the 2010 Open Championship?
Yeah, it blows my mind because he shows up in majors, but he just never. I don't think he's ever. Yeah, he's never won in North America. So it's just
He's got the Grand Slam of runner ups, and you know you always find him in the top five. But like, yeah, it's been 9 years.
A prolific non-winner.
He's like a rich man's Lee Westwood.
There you go. At least he's got the one major to go with it. All right. Next up, number 27 player in the world, Mark Leishman, another Aussie here. Not a great President's Cup record, 3-7-3 overall, although he is 2-0-1 in singles. Kyle, what I like most about Leishman, and the thing that stood out to me when I was doing research about this, is he has played 10 team sessions with seven different playing partners. To me, that just speaks to his versatility and that you can pair him with almost anybody on the face of the earth. That's probably pretty valuable here. Kyle?
Sorry, I'm here.
Did we lose him?
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
it is weird to me. I was just saying it's weird to me that his record isn't better because he's the kind of guy that he's so solid and he's so good all around that it seems like he should be better in the match play format. And maybe he's just gone up against hot players. Maybe I don't know what it is, but I don't know. Maybe I overvalue him as a player just because I like him as a person. Maybe we do that with some of these guys. But yeah, it seems like he should have been better than he is, and maybe in Australia he will be. Maybe he'll feel at home and have a good tournament.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because, Eric, it really was a scorching start to 2019 for Leishman. He had five top four finishes and a win in his first seven starts of the year, and then just kind of faded down the stretch. I mean, when you look at the group of guys on the international team right now in terms of recent form, where are you slotting in Leishman as guys that you have confidence in?
I wish I had more, but again, he's proven he's kind of a guy who doesn't need a ton of form. Some of his better finishes this year, I'm looking later in the season here. Fifth at the Memorial came after a miscut at the PGA. Third at the FedEx St. Jude came after a miscut at the Open. So he just kind of pops when no one's really expecting it. So I think that experience is going to come into play for him. He's one of the few guys who's done this before, but he doesn't need a ton of form to be, you know, to show up and play well. And kind of going back to what Kyle said, I think maybe he's some of these team formats, four balls, foursomes, it's tough to get in a rhythm, kind of, you're not playing your own ball all the time. So maybe that's has something to do with it. Kind of like a, I don't know, some sort of, mental hitch or something that he's got going on where he just can't get into his groove or play his own game. He's kind of focused too much on the team, but I don't know. Yeah, kind of speculating there.
He was seventh in strokes gained in 2017 for the season. And then he goes to Liberty National and he goes 0-3-2. And you're like, man, you've been like one of the 10 best guys in the world for the whole year. And then you go out, you get beat by, you know, he lost to Reed and Spieth. He lost to Koepka and DJ. And that's the other part of this is like, it's just, I mean, The guys you're going up against, it's tough for the international team. And like we've talked about, they have to play like perfect golf to even have a chance, even on, for what a lot of them will be home soil in Australia.
Yeah. I keep looking at some of these records and I'm like, oh man, that's a bad record. That's a bad record. But you remember, I mean, they're going up against some pretty gauntlet teams on the American side. And another guy with a record that, yeah, on paper looks really bad is Jason Day, number 29 ranked player in the world, 5-11-4 in his President's Cup career, 2-2 in singles. He is the only other player on the team who was there at Royal Melbourne in 2011. He was 1-3-1. Kyle, to me, he's our wild card. We all know he's going to be a great locker room guy. We've known, you know, his long-term form is one of an elite player. He has a really great off the tee game. He can putt really well, but it doesn't always come together for him. So is he the guy? He might just be the key guy in this whole thing that swings it one way or another, but that's the way that I look at Jason Day in this format.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he makes a ton of birdies. He's usually top 10, top 25 in terms of birdies made. So that's a good thing. I just, you know, in a lot of this stuff with team events, I went back to this last year at the Ryder Cup at Paris. Like, you so much take on the personality of your best guy. So with the European team, like, Rory doesn't complain about stupid stuff the way that sometimes the leaders of the American team have done in the past and talk about, like, oh well, we're using a different ball, and it's like no, he just goes out and freaking plays golf, you know. And I think I see a little bit of the American stuff with Day of like, oh well, you know, there's an injury, maybe it's a new club cat, you know. He's talking about his caddies today, and it's like, well, I don't know. it's not to me. Somebody like that should be more galvanizing than I feel like he is for the international team.
Yeah, I like that. Now, Eric, let me throw it over to you. Would you be more surprised if Jason Day is the leading point scorer here, or the guy that goes like 0-5? Which outcome would be more surprising for you?
The leading points getter. I think there's this. I'd be more surprised if he's the leading points getter. I think that there's a chance that he just, you know, he doesn't have it, doesn't want to play, doesn't show up. I'm waiting for him eagerly to actually withdraw from this week's Mayakoba with the rain. So he just doesn't seem like Kyle said. He just, his body language doesn't scream leader, which is what this international team needs. He's not the one who's gonna, you know, rally the troops and get them all fired up to take on the Americans. So it's just kind of a sore spot when your leader, when you're arguably your best player, couldn't even qualify in points. It just kind of, you know, it's a testament to the state of the international team.
He's 0-8 in his last 8 non-singles matches in the President's Cup too. It's not good.
Excuse me.
He's not 0-8. He's 0-6-2. So not that much better.
Oh, okay. A little bit better. I thought he'd be like, he's 2-6. No, he still has not won. Okay. Well, my favorite guy, and the guy that I actually think is a pretty good bet to be like the leading point scorer, just because I think he should play every single session, is the number 34th ranked player in the world. It's Sung Jae Im.
Yes.
He is a rookie. Yeah, I know. We could spend 15 minutes on this. You know, Sung Jae's a rookie. He has 7 top 10s in his 35 starts last year. He already has 2 more this year. His game is one that I love. I think he can make birdies in bunches. Kyle, please throw more praise on Sungjae for me.
Yeah, I mean, we could go all day on the stats. I want Sungjae to be the villain. I don't know if he will be, but I want him to just roll into the press conference and be like, you know what? Patrick Reed is trash. He's garbage. and just start the week that way and just go from there. I don't know Sungjae. He's probably a super nice guy. He seems like he is. He's such a, you know, I think there's like 4 or 5 guys like this that we've talked about that it's like, this guy's the best player in the world that nobody knows about. And I think we talked about this with Mark Immelman of like, this is such a great stage for him to kind of show that off, to go out and beat a DJ, to beat a Justin Thomas, somebody like that. And he's got the tools to do it. I mean, the ball striking is incredible. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited to see what he can do. And, you know, Ernie Els said this. He said it about, I think he said it about Abraham Ancer or maybe Joaquin Niemann, but like, there's not the scar tissue there. There's not the, I forget the phrasing that he used, but that's what he meant of like, they haven't experienced all the losses and all the beatdowns by the American team. So maybe the fact that there's 6 rookies on the team actually works to the international team's advantage.
It's possible. They all haven't just had their, you know, their brains beat in by the Americans year after year. So Eric, this is, if you haven't figured it out, this is the Sungjae M fan club podcast. So you are now contractually obligated to say nice things about him.
Yeah. I don't think I could find bad things to say about him. So I'm fully on board as well. Nothing bad for me.
He's something really special. I do like the idea that he gets a little bit of a showcase on a bigger stage. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and wrap up the rest of these 6 guys.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
All right, welcome back. We'll start back with another rookie here, the number 36 player in the world. It's Abraham Ancer. He is down in Mexico this week trying to stay dry and playing in his home country. He is going to be another rookie on this team. And to me, Eric, he has one really elite and helpful skill set, which is hitting the ball off the tee. 10th in strokes gained off the tee on tour last season. And I feel like if, you know, some of those guys that, you know, might be better around the green, someone like a Louis, you know, Ancer could be a pretty good partner for a lot of different guys on this international team. Is there anything specific you like or dislike about Ancer and potentially who his playing partner might be?
Yeah, like you mentioned, while he is trying to stay dry in Mexico, he's definitely not trying to stay out of the headlines. I'm already looking forward to Ancer's Sunday singles versus Tiger.
Yes.
Kind of put that one out there today. Although it sounded like more of like a he wants to take on Tiger out of respect, but you know, We're gonna, wait,
we gotta pump this up. We need stories here, man.
That's not the Twitter headline, Eric. Come on.
Hey, all right. We'll stick with the clickbait. Yeah, Tiger versus Answer. Answer's coming for him. He's gonna go 9-8 against Tiger. Reverse aims, if you will. But no, Answer is off the tee. He's elite. He's one of the best in the world. But other than that, he's gonna need one of his partners to pick him up either. Around the green or putting, he's not much of a putter. He's a member of Team No Putt, if you will.
There you go.
But in terms of a playing partner, I think Answer's better off playing his own ball and not really competing in the alternate shot. So,
well, you know, I'd like to see Answer just embrace this whole Tiger thing, show up when they finally do resume this Mayakoba, just wear the black and red, baby. Just like own it, wear it. So Kyle, I think we're getting now down to the portion of this team where there's a lot of unknowns and there's like a huge range of outcomes from some of these guys down here at the bottom. I don't know if we've ever even talked about Abraham Mansur in depth together. I mean, where are you at generally on this guy?
I mean, I think he's an OU guy, so I struggle with that, but he's fine. He's a good player, and you know, he's up to 40th in the world. I think it'd be interesting to see him with somebody like, I don't know, maybe like Jason Day, you know, who's really good at putting, really good around the greens. I don't know. I mean, this is the problem, right? Like he's fine. He's good. He's not like, he's not somebody that you look at and you're like, I mean, is he going to like go 4-1 this week? Like that seems pretty unlikely. So I just feel like there's too many guys like that on the international team.
There's too many guys that are just fine. I think that's a really good way to put it. One of them who I think is just fine, but does provide a lot of value in match play is Adam Hadwin, who we'll throw it over to Eric, our resident Canadian here, to talk about his countrymen. 0-2-1 in his President's Cup career. We know historically Adam Hadwin, he can get a hot flat stick. He can roll the ball. And there are plenty of guys on this international team that could use a really good putting partner. So, Eric, fill us in on what's going on with Adam Hadwin. And I would be interested to hear if you thought Corey Conner should have been on this team in his place or in addition to.
Well, I always thought there was going to be a Canadian. I definitely thought it was going to be Conner's, just, you know, kind of that same ilk where it's tee to green and then, you know, maybe he gets hot with his putter, maybe he doesn't. But I understand the pick with Hadwin. You know, Mike Weir was definitely in Els's ear talking him up. So, you know, he doesn't have a ton of experience in this, but he is one of the few guys who hasn't, in recent years, he hasn't been beaten by the Americans too much, but does bring a little bit of experience. But he can get hot. He can go low. Which is pretty important in match play. He shot a 59 before. So anytime you can have a guy who pours in birdies, if they're just well timed, you never know, you can win a match. But he's tough to pair with. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well. But if someone's putting it close for him, he can definitely knock in some birdies.
Do you think Mike Weir talks trash to Ernie about the Masters?
I think Mike Weir's got his green jacket on down in Australia right now. I don't think that thing never leaves his side.
I mean, that's got to be tough for Ernie. Be like, I took so many shots at Augusta and this guy won one? Come on.
That's awesome. So, Kyle, I have to admit, I mean, because we've talked a lot about especially the captain's picks and Adam Hadwin being one of those guys, I kind of hated this when it happened. And the more we've talked about it and the more I've just kind of, you know, let it marinate, I'm actually getting much more bullish on Adam Hadwin.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a potentially hot putter. I like the idea of a guy who can shoot a 59 and go low. I mean, when you compare it to some of these other guys down here, I'm getting more and more bullish on Adam Hadwin. Should you talk me down off of that, or what do you think?
No, I feel the same way. I'm right along the same lines as you of like, you know, how you have to start looking outside of it's like going up against Alabama in football. It's like, are you going to out Bama? Probably not. So like, how are you going to do it? Maybe you get maybe Jason Day and Adam Hadwin just don't miss a putt the whole week, or, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what the formula is for the international team to win, but I think it, I think it's important to have a piece like that. I think so much of this, we look at it from like a stroke play, like PGA Tour week in, week out type thing. And of course, like, we like Corey Connors better than Adam Hadwin. But from the international team perspective, I think Ernie Els is probably right, and you're right in saying that this is probably a better option for them going into these matches than Corey Connors would have been.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel pretty strongly about that, as much as I love Corey Connors. But let's move on to our final Aussie here. It's Cam Smith, who, another rookie in this format. I mean this in the nicest way possible, that Cam Smith is kind of like the most vanilla guy out here, where it's just like, he's fine. Obviously, you get the Australian angle. I think he's going to be a really good member of this team. But I don't know how much praise, Eric, you know, I can heap on Cam Smith, even though, I mean, I guess the good news is he's starting to play a little bit better. He had a 13th place at the Shriners. He had a third at the CJ Cup. I mean, where do we stand on Cam Smith and his role on this team?
I think his short game and his, you know, his familiarity with Australian golf is going to be a, you know, kind of his biggest strength. You know, he'll be able to get up and down from most places. His putter is also one that can get hot, and kind of like an Adam Hadwin, not with the same with the short game, but if he does get hot with his putter, you know, that can be extremely frustrating for the opposing team, who are, you know, putting it to 10 feet and maybe missing some of these putts, whereas, you know, Smith's kind of scrambling it around and then drains a 25 footer for birdie right in front of your face. So he's one of these guys that, again, no American is looking at, oh geez, I got Cam Smith going up against this round. So it's not like he's making anyone nervous, but you know, he has some strengths that can play around Royal Melbourne that he might be a little bit under the radar this for the event.
He kind of, yeah, one of my favorite, go ahead, Kyle.
He kind of owns Australia too, back-to-back Australian PGA Championship. I was a little disappointed in him this year. I thought coming off that win at the end of last year at the Australian PGA, I thought he'd have a better year on the PGA Tour. He finished T6 in Mexico, and that was pretty much it for the regular season. He just didn't.
Yeah.
He was T9 at the Farmers. There wasn't a lot going on, and it felt like he should have made some kind of leap over the last couple of years, and I just haven't seen it.
He was one of a few guys, I just want to jump in, he was one of a few guys who made the cut in all four majors, but I don't think he finished higher than T20 in any of them. It's kind of a weird
stat.
That
is wild, and that is, yeah, T51 at the Masters. That's the Players. PGA, T64, US Open, T72, Open Championship, T20. That was his best finish, but yeah, made cuts in all four. Good stat, Eric.
There's not that many guys, but yeah, he is one of them.
My fun fact about Cam Smith is that he owns a dachshund, and so do I, so we're dachshund buddies. All right, moving on, Joaquin Niemann, who I am super stoked to see in this format. Mark Immelman kind of got me all fired up on him, especially because he's a young guy. A lot of these young guys, as they work their way up the amateur ranks, play a lot of match play. Like, we know his ceiling is a winner on the PGA Tour. So Kyle, let's start with you. Joaquin Niemann, I think I know where you stand on him, but is there anything specific to this format, or could you see him being paired with a specific golfer during this? Because I think the international team's probably gonna have to rely on him quite a bit.
Yeah, I think they are too, and I think that'll be good for him. I think he wants to be thrown into the fire. I think he's as ready for it as a rookie can be. I think I want him with somebody who's like, I would love him with like an Adam Scott, just somebody who's steady, like doesn't get real high or real low. I think Joaquin's a pretty emotional guy. I think you saw at Greenbrier, and I think that could, if he's not with the right person, I think that could work against him at this event.
Eric, if you were ranking these international players, I honestly think, you know, Niemann, who was a captain's pick, Sungjae Im, who was a captain's pick, are pretty significantly better than some of the guys that earned their way onto the team. So would you be surprised to see those captain's picks, you know, play many more sessions than some of these other guys who earned their way onto this team throughout the year?
No, I think Niemann and Im will play, you know, four, maybe all five all five events or sessions, you could say. I think he's, you know, he's young. There's no worry about him, you know, getting tired out. I think he just turned 20 or 21. So, and he's one of the guys, one of the few guys on the international team that can, you know, ball strike with some of these American hitters. So, I think his game, like Kyle was saying, with Adam Scott or Louis Oosthuizen, these guys who are just very mellow, I think that'll do him wonders. And, you know, moving away from the President's Cup, I think this experience for Niemann and Im and Answer will go a long way in the PGA Tour careers of these guys. Just facing this pressure is something that they will, you know, when they're in the hunt on the Sunday, they're going to be able to remember this time when they were playing, you know, when they're going up against a Brooks Koepka or a Xander Schauffele in the President's Cup, and be able to draw from that experience.
I like that a lot. And speaking of experience, we'll move on to the next guy, Haotong Li, who, this is kind of weird. He's 24 years old, but I think he's like a very seasoned 24 years old, Kyle. I mean, this is a guy who has played plenty of majors. He's played in big European Tour events. He has a lot of WGC experience. I don't think this event is over his head like we might think about some of these other rookies. How do you feel about Haotong?
Yeah, I like Haotong. I think he's a good player. Again, it's not a Haotong thing. It's a who's he going up against thing. Is he going to play, you know, like Xander in singles? I don't like Haotong then. You know, it's just hard. Like I think Haotong's the kind of guy who really, really nice European Tour player, pretty good at some of the bigger WGC and major championships, but is he going to be like an elite team event guy? I don't know. I feel like I've said it 9 times. That's kind of where I land on a lot of these guys, of like really nice player, great on the Euro Tour, can do some stuff on the PGA Tour, but the buzzsaw that they're going up against, it's just hard to, it's hard to project out anything but them taking an L in Australia.
Yeah, Haotong Li, he did lose in the Sweet 16 of this year's WGC match play, so at least you have a little bit to go off of there. So, Eric, I mean, when you're looking at the bottom of this international team, when you compare Haotong against guys like CT Pan or Cam Smith, I'm pretty bullish on Haotong compared to those guys. But to Kyle's point, this might just be a buzzsaw that he runs into just getting kind of beat down over in Australia. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think like he's one of the guys where we don't see him a lot, so it's really hard to nail down exactly what he's good at with limited stats. But yeah, he's a fine player, another fine player on the international team. But it's hard to get excited when, you know, you see some of the faces that he's facing up against.
That should be the tagline: the international team, a bunch of fine players. I've got the aggregate score to par at majors right here, by the way. So Koepka, we were talking about this earlier with Cam Smith. Koepka was 36 under. He made all four cuts. Next best, who made all four cuts, was Xander and DJ at 14 under. So 22 behind Koepka.
Come on, Cam. Yeah.
And then you've got a bunch of guys at like 12, 9, 8, 7. Henrik Stenson was even. Tommy Fleetwood was 3 over. Aaron Wise, 3 over. Terrell Hatton, 5 over. And Cam Smith, 20 over.
Oh, no. Wow,
that's the gap from 5 over to 20 over?
Those are the last two guys.
Oh, man. Hey, at least he did it. At least he's on the list. But wowza. So that's a good one. You might not find somebody who can make all four cuts and go 20 over like ever again.
It's pretty difficult.
That's wild. Great stat. I'm gonna keep an eye on that one. All right, and then our last guy here, our 12th man, CT Pan, again another rookie. Man, you know, only 2 top 10s last year, however he did capture victory at the RBC Heritage. Eric, I'm looking at the strokes gain numbers from last year for CT Pan, since it's a much larger sample stat. I mean, he's outside the top 100 in strokes gained off the tee. He's 97th in strokes gained approach. He's outside the top 100 in strokes gained putting. I mean, like, what does CT Pan bring to this international team?
You're making me answer that one, are you?
Yeah, I mean, you could just like vamp and say whatever you want, but like that's
he's bringing representation from Chinese Taipei. I was waiting for that jacket from the RBC Heritage.
Okay. I keep them warm over there. Those are at least two things that not a lot of guys can bring, right? So, okay, that's fair. I mean, yeah, Kyle, we're now at player number 12 here, and we kind of talked about it throughout this. I mean, CT Pan's in for it this week or next week or next month.
Yeah, whenever this thing's being played.
whenever.
I mean, again, like the visual I have in my head of both CT Pan and the international team is CT walking out, shaking DJ's hand on the first tee, and then it being like, well, what do we do now? Right? Like, I mean, look, I'm glad that CT won the RBC Heritage. That's great. Like, yeah, great for him. He had a really good amateur career. Played at Washington. Coming into professional golf, he was a solid player. It's just you get to this level and he's so short off the tee, and he doesn't really make up for it with his short game and putting, or at least he hasn't the last couple of years. And it could be a tough week for CT.
Yeah, I envision, because the President's Cup, it's not like the blind lineups, right? So, you know, one guy's going to announce who's going out and then the other team is going to be able to counter that. I wonder, like, I know this sounds terrible, but like, yeah, oh, Brooks Koepka. Okay, like, let's just give him CT Pan as like a sacrificial like goat or whatever, right? And just move along and try to take our chances in some of these other matches. Like, I don't know. I mean, I really like the guy. He seems like a good guy. I'm glad I'm glad that he got his win, but it is probably going to be uphill all the way for this international team in general when they get to Australia.
Yeah.
All right, that is the 12 International President's Cup team members. Kyle, any final thoughts on this? I think we kind of encapsulated how we feel about these players and this team in general, but any other nuggets you want to give before we sign off?
Trevor Immelman, also a captain's assistant, who could talk trash to Ernie Els about not having a green jacket. That's a tough week for Ernie.
Yeah, he's gonna have to hear it all week.
That is that's rough. I don't know. It's you know, I think the only whatever drama, if you want to call it, left is the Koepka injury. What does that mean for the US team? I think other than that, I'm excited to watch these guys on a big stage. Some of these guys we don't see a ton on a big stage. Guys like Sungjae, like Adam Hadwin, like Abraham Anser, although he contended at the Players this year. I think it'll be fun to see them try and take on a U.S. team. And look, like, and we talked about this last time, like the travel and the getting to Australia from the Bahamas, like that could be a real thing for the U.S. team. So they're going to have a few things working against them. There's going to be a point at which the international team leads or is like out in front or whatever, and people are going to start talking about, oh, what if the U.S. team loses? So I'm excited about all that going down in Australia.
Yeah, Eric, I mean, we've kind of mentioned this on the pod before, but what I love about this format is it feels close forever, even if it's not. And even if it's not, you still get a bunch of match play, which is one of the few times a year that we get to see these guys in situations, whether they're hitting somebody else's ball, whether it's just one-on-one golf, that I wish that we got an opportunity to see more of different formats. But how do you feel about this format in general, Eric? And are there any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
No, I mean, yeah, it might be tough sometimes to pump up the international team or the President's Cup as a whole, but rarely do we get to see, you know, 12 of the best Americans taking on 12 of the world's best in a match play format. So I'm always down to watch the world's best play golf, especially at a course like Royal Melbourne that we never or very frequently get to see or witness and figure out how it plays. So I'm here up in Canada rooting for the internationals, hoping for chaos.
Oh yeah. Forgot. I didn't even put that together that you'd be rooting for them.
Well, I mean, it's, anytime you can counter root against the States, I got to do it. But this looks like an uphill battle.
Beauty. Well, Eric, as always, appreciate you coming on. And Kyle, thank you very much. So that's Kyle Porter. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Kyle Porter CBS. Eric Patterson from The Score. It's at EPatGolf. And I appreciate it, boys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Rick. All right.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. Men's National Team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.